This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan Purecast. You fools!
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is Saturday evening, January 7th, here on the East Coast, and Sunday morning in Tokyo, Japan, where Damon McDonald is residing in his hotel room right now. Damon, are you ever coming back, or are you like a permanent Tokyo resident now?
I would do just about anything to make some life changes and be here forever. What an absolutely glorious time this past week has been. Colin, I told you before we went on the air, dude, you got to come next year. The amount of fun, the amount of just joy and happiness and pro wrestling greatness, and then post match shenanigans, and I don't mean blow and missed. Oh, well, you could if you wanted to, but it's more along the lines of just great people, great fun, and God, no, I if it wasn't for my wife, I gotta be truthful. I'm gonna be depressed tomorrow. This is my last day here. Tomorrow is gonna be a tough one because I always tell everyone, and I told Colin, you're not going to believe this, and I know this is hard to comprehend. We have people that listen to us and are fans of us and tell us that they enjoy listening to us. What an absolute joy that was to hear. You know, people just coming up and being like, Damon, just out of nowhere. Hey, I'm Sam. I'm you know, Renee. Or, not Renee, but, you know, you get my point.
I'm Minoru.
I'm Jushin. I listen to you all the time. But to have that, you know, to be in Tokyo, to have that experience and to have, you know, the feedback from people who really enjoy what we do, it really means a lot. Colin, I kid you not. I drank a lot. I'm not going to lie.
You don't say.
It's been a heavy drinking week.
I never would have predicted that.
I probably have paid maybe up for a quarter of the drinks. We had people just, you know, at the Dome show, Norm Kwan came up out of nowhere, just two beers. Hey, guys, thanks for everything that you do. Boom, two beers. I'm at Corgan, Monty, our good friend Monty. Again, let me get you a beer. It's that kind of thing where it's just like, you got to come next year. And I, like I said, I tell everybody there's pre Tokyo life and then there's post Tokyo life. And once you come here and once you experience the city and just how amazing it is, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be on your list to come back again and again. I had people telling me, this is my first time in Tokyo, my first time here. I can't wait to go back. Like, I can't, like, I'm here now, but I can't wait to come back. So it's been great. And listen, I'm going to mention lots of people throughout this show, just because it's all intertwined. So it's we're going to review a Dome show and we're going to review a Dash show, but I'm going to share stories and I'm going to kind of slide little anecdotes in and out of this entire weekend. And guys and gals, if it can convince you to save up your pennies and come, I hope so, because next year I won't be surprised if my fat ass is right here again.
Well, first of all, Damon, that is very humbling for me to hear. Just sitting here in my apartment in the States on the East Coast, that just, like you said, it blows my mind. And secondly, you can bet your ass that I am going to be in the early planning stages very, very soon to make it out to Wrestle Kingdom 12 next year. Not only because I want to have that same experience that you have, but Uncle Dave said that he's going to be there, and I'll be damned if Dave Meltzer is going to be there and I won't be there.
Colin's going to have 7 snowflakes in his pocket.
That's right.
Just one of them. Just to one up Dave. And work on your abs while you're there. You don't want Big Dave showing off his abs and embarrassing you.
Well, they are better than Johnny Mundo. So
that is true. Listen, he'll be the first one to tell you. He'll be the first one to tell you.
In all seriousness, though, we have got a great show for you today, ladies and gents, because we are going to be reviewing Wrestle Kingdom 11, the 26th annual Tokyo Dome show presented by New Japan Pro Wrestling. We're also going to be covering all of the fallout from the following night's New Year Dash show. And Damon, I know it sounds cliched to say what a historic event, but seriously, to me, this almost feels like a new genesis for New Japan Pro Wrestling, like a rebirth almost.
Yeah, and before I left, we had talked about that, where this show is going to be a major show in that people are going to circle it on their calendar, and it's going to be a mark in the direction of New Japan, not only for this calendar year, but for years to come. They've set the stage for things for years to come out of the show. Yeah, it was the closest thing I could to describe, Colin, is the show was like a concert, like a gigantic major concert that, is historic. I'm trying to think of like the historic concerts and people and bands' careers.
Like the Beatles at Budokan.
Yeah, or even Cheap Trick at Budokan.
Right.
Oasis at Nebworth or
Frampton Comes Alive.
It's that kind of thing where this company is looking to do new, fresh, and exciting things that they've never done before or have really taken seriously before. And you can kind of feel those steps and that progress moving in that direction. Add to that, that once again, this company, there's no one better that puts on that big show. There's no promotion better that makes that big match special. And a lot has to do with the effort that they put in, the production that they put in to make it feel like a big event. But the athletes and the pro wrestlers that they have on that roster that can deliver. Colin, after intermission, that show took off to be one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Well, I was going to say, can you name any other promotion that puts on a show where the second half of the show features 4-plus star match, and then another 4-plus star match, and then another 4-plus star match, and then just one of the great, possibly the greatest match of all time?
Yeah, and what's funny is that we said that last year. We said that for this same show last year, and even before that, like, they just have a consistent method to delivering fantastic events. When you come to a Wrestle Kingdom, or when you drag your ass out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever time you're catching the show, that when you turn it on, it's going to be good. You know it. And that you can't say that for any other promotion. You can't tell me that you turn on a fucking WrestleMania and feel like you're going to get that. You're going to walk away feeling the way that you do after a Wrestle Kingdom. And again, the products are night and day in what they even want to deliver. But the fact that, yeah, think back last year. I was saying how jacked up I was, and we had to go to the diner, and we couldn't sleep. Do you know how many people – how my phone was blowing up during that Omega Okada match? My phone was blowing up for people just going berserk. You had 40- and 50-year-old guys just almost in tears with enjoy watching that performance. And that closing stretch was some of the greatest pro wrestling I've ever seen. And yes, kids, here it is. I know you were waiting for it, so let's get it right the fuck out of the way. This was the greatest match I've ever seen. It was the greatest match I've ever seen. I don't know how the fuck they did it. It was unbelievable. Colin, that when Okada hit that twirling pile driver, I jumped out of my seat along with the supposed reserved Japanese crowd, and we were jumping and holding each other, knowing that Rainmaker was coming, and 1-2-3 had to happen after Kenny Omega kicks out of one. I know we're jumping ahead. I know we don't want to dig too deep in here, but I just want to share with you that everyone was going out of their fucking mind batshit crazy during that match. This promotion is the best promotion on planet Earth. I'm sorry. And there might be, you know, people who are, well, WWE, money, okay. There might be people that are going to go the other route and be like, well, Dragon Gate, they have the best. Okay, great. There's no one that does this better. There's no promotion that does this better. None. I'm sorry. They don't. That was an event. And again, it's a show that's going to set the tone for not only this year, but years to come.
So before we get into reviewing all of these matches that took place on this card, I want to talk a little bit about attendance figures and some statistics. So this year's Wrestle Kingdom saw a paid gate of 26,192, which wasn't nice. Up that much from last year's Wrestle Kingdom. However, the actual number of bodies in the building was way up. I want to say, and you know, Damon, you can you probably have a better idea of this than I do, but I want to say there was around close to 37,000 people in the building. I mean, I know that Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino were trying to push that 40,000 number on the English commentary, but I'm hearing somewhere in the ballpark between 35 and 37.
Yeah, I heard low to mid 30s, and then the gate being the gate. Let's talk about the gate first. Sure. What did I say earlier? If they were able to just break even, right? And when I say they, Naito and Omega, just break even from what they did last year, that's a success in my eyes, right? Because they're unproven commodities up top. You know, Naito had a couple of, you know, shots up there. But they surpassed it. Colin, this is a company that was, you know, cherry-picked some of their biggest stars, right? Just this time last year. You know, we talk about it all the fucking time, but, you know, with AJ and Nakamura, they were plucked right here this time last year. And to be able to have two new guys to be able to not only fill that role, but exceed that role is amazing to me. It's amazing. The paid gate is more. I don't care if it's a fucking penny more. That's an amazing job by them.
I think it was 1,100 more, actually, the paid gate in total.
Great. That's tremendous.
I also heard that the LIJ merch sales were just off the charts.
There were lots of people. There were lots of people with that. The crowd, like I did a shot. I did a camera shot.
You probably did a lot of shots, buddy.
this was a camera. I can't drink cameras. If you liquefied it, I give it a shot. I did like the upper decks were filled up. Now again, back in the day, in these dome shows, so if you have a baseball stadium, you're looking at like the infield section, right? That would all be filled up. You know, the floor seats would be filled up, and then the tiers in the infield would be filled up, and then the second level would be filled up, and then also they would also be filled up in the outfield. So it would be like a legit full house, right? They don't do that anymore. So the outfield, they don't even sell seats too. So you can't really count them because they're not even made available. New Japan's not going to, you know, say, okay, we're going to open up to 60,000 seats because they know 60,000 people aren't going to show. But where the seats look to be available, they filled the floor They filled the first tier, and they really looked like they filled the second tier. We were amazed at how many people were in that building. So I don't know if 40 is it. I don't think 40 is it. But I had heard numbers from reliable sources, Colin.
On the street.
Listen, the Tokyo Street's even better than the Philadelphia Street, let me tell you that.
You can get murdered on the Philadelphia Street.
Sure could. Low to mid 30s.
Hey, that's nothing to sneeze at.
You know who, speaking of on the street, you know who I met?
Who's that?
Well, first I met the great Chris Charlton.
You met a lot of people.
talked to him a little bit. I thanked him for what he has done for the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and the valuable resource he is. Great guy. It just, you know, just a real easygoing.
Very intelligent fellow.
Yeah. He's originally from the UK. Married here. Lives here, obviously. And you know who else I talked to?
Who's that?
How about that Inuhito
on
Twitter?
The elusive Inuhito.
Yes.
I didn't even know that he was a real person. I just assumed that he was like a robot.
No, he's a very handsome gentleman. He had a nice sharp tailored suit on. We decided to do a meetup for the classic group at right next to Corkin is the TGI Fridays. We figured that's the most central place. And it was actually quite dead in there. And we took up about, you know, we had about 10 people that came. Guy came over and he's talking to talking to Eric or Fumi. And I didn't know who it was. And I was talking with somebody else. And Eric was like, "Hey, Damon." And he's pointing over and he's like, "Let me introduce you. That's Inuhito." I was like, "Fuck." You know? So he was the guy that, I don't know if people saw this, but Kevin Kelly and Steve Carino were doing a Facebook Live thing for New Japan. And he helped coordinate that. So he was doing like some production work for that segments. So those online and multimedia segments, he was helping in that. So he actually was like, "Would you guys be on the pre-show?" We're like, yeah, we'll finish up our beers. And he goes, "Okay, like 10 minutes, go meet out in front." And we're like, "Okay." So we hurry up, pound some beers down, grab our shit, go. And yeah, then I was on the pre-show. Me and Eric were on the internet pre-show. So if you go back in the archives there and look at that, you can see my big fat face. And we talk a little bit about you, Colin Miller, and how you're probably catching some Z's. And it was good. Yeah, so there's a little side story there for the crowd. Okay. All right, let's move on.
And one other statistic here to talk about. For NJPWWorld.com, this actually set the all-time record for live foreign streaming viewers. I forget what the actual number was. I want to say that it was 10,000 foreigners who signed up for NJPWWorld.com, you know, to watch Wrestle Kingdom 11. That's pretty huge.
That's great news. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, the true test is, okay, let's keep those people here, right? Let's pop them for another month, get them for another month. And you know, that show helps, you know? You know, when you put on a Wrestle Kingdom to bring in a new audience, yeah, that's helpful because, you know, it's helpful. And I don't want to say it's hurtful too, because when these new beginning shows come rolling around, you ain't going to get Wrestle Kingdom kids.
Right? No.
So don't expect this every single show.
You're going to get good wrestling, but.
Yeah, you're going to get good wrestling on average, and then you're going to get these nice little spikes that occur throughout the calendar year. So, hey, if you're a new listener, you know, stay with us and stay with the product. It's a hell of a ride.
Absolutely. You trust me, 2017 in New Japan Pro Wrestling shall not let you down. So on that note, Damon, what do you say we dig into this card here? Wrestle Kingdom 11 from the Tokyo Dome, January 4th, 2017. And let's kick it off with the New Japan Rumble, shall we?
That's where we got to start. Look.
This was better than last year's Rumble.
It was. It had its moments. I can't say that I sat here and watched the majority of it. It was more about who was coming in and the people, the ring entrances. So the first person is Michael Elgin, who hits the ring, right?
Right.
And we knew, like, we hung out with Mike before the show. So, yeah, we were talking a little bit about the Rumble, and we were like, are you first? He's like, I don't really, you know, so you kind of, we were like, yeah, all right, you're going to clean house, huh? You're going to sweep the floor with everybody. So he comes out first. We tried to bust his balls, give him a little Blue Jays chant. He was no selling us. And then Billy Gunn comes out, you know how he does the fucking water gimmick, right? He has the bottle of water, you know, spits it out and then throws it out in the crowd. So I got my back turned and I turn around. And fucking Eric's sitting there with the empty bottle in his hand. I was like, of all people that's going to catch this goddamn thing, you catch this thing. I like Cheeseburger. I thought Cheeseburger was fun. Cheeseburger
is
always fun
you,
in these little situations.
Yeah. I've got to say, I thought that Cheeseburger was going to win, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if you remember this, but when we sat down with Kevin Kelly in Vegas of February of last year, he had mentioned that Gato told him that he had some big plans for Cheeseburger at next year's Wrestle Kingdom. See, you remember that, right? So
that
was kind of in the back of my mind the entire time as I was watching this. And when it came down to Big Mike and Cheeseburger, I was like, oh my God, Cheeseburger is somehow going to eliminate Michael Elgin. Like maybe Elgin will have him up in a powerbomb and Cheeseburger will do a little Hurricane Rana to eliminate him, but alas, that did not happen. Big Mike hits the Revolution Elgin Bomb for the win, and he is your New Japan Rumble winner. Bit of a step up from last year's winner. No disrespect to Jado, of course, but you know.
Well, I had a little bit more. You know, it had a little bit more meaning.
Right.
You know, Mike,
that's what I'm
Mike
saying.
Winning this thing helps. You know. Set a stage for him to do other bigger and better things. I think the right guy won. I thought it was fun, you know. Taguchi, I thought it was. Did you see Scott Norton decapitate Taguchi with a fucking powerbomb on one of those eliminations? Oh my God!
Scott Norton is massive.
Yeah, he's massive now. He just seems to me like a guy that you don't want to fuck with in the ring. Just no thanks.
This guy is 55 years old. I guarantee you, if you put him in there with Okada, they could have a good match.
I think Scott has Scott's well past his prime.
He wouldn't need to do anything though. He could just do power moves.
Yeah, he could just stand and just do shoulder blocks.
Right.
The one guy that I was a little disappointed with, and I think maybe he was disappointed being in the position that he was in, was Yuji Nagata. Yuji Nagata seemed to me like he was lost in the shuffle. I kind of felt bad for him. But everybody else, you know, they did what they did.
Were you excited to see Kobayashi?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's old school 80s. He didn't look that bad for his age.
No.
He's like 106, for Christ's sake. But yeah, the fun part is who's coming out. But the sad part is that you would see all these guys walking around Tokyo, right? So, you know, if you just hung out around the dome area and Korakuen area, you would see them getting lunch and everything. So
that kind of spoiled it in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. So I knew Cheeseburger was at the Stardom show. That's when I first saw him. And then walking around, we saw Scott Norton. So, and we already knew that he was coming in. But the Cheeseburger, you know, and he was like taking pictures with people at the Stardom show. I mean, not a lot of people, but a couple people. But he was like, hey, just do me a favor. Just don't post this on Facebook. We kind of want this to be a little bit of a surprise. So hopefully people were respectful of that. But Cheeseburger was very cool. We kept bumping into him all weekend, all week. Every time we turned around, he's there with you, and he would bust our balls. Good guy, that Cheeseburger.
Hey, he was nice enough to record a liner for this podcast for us last February. So, yeah, cool guy.
Yeah, no doubt. He was very, like you said, just very cool. And he's a bit, you know, you know how sometimes you get pro wrestlers who don't seem like they're pro wrestling fans? That kind of annoys me, right?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger's a pro wrestling fan.
You could tell.
So. Yeah, I mean, you could tell the merch he bought at Dotacon. he's a fan. All right, let's move on. We got our opening match here.
Yep,
right?
Let's move on to the first official match on Wrestle Kingdom 11, and this is to promote, of course, the Tiger Mask anime series. So we saw Tiger Mask W take on Tiger the Dark. Damon, I'm not sure what two athletes were under these masks here, but they're pretty decent pro wrestlers, wouldn't you say?
It's ACH. He was in the airport. He was actually the first person I saw coming out of the airport. Him and Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson was shooting like a promo, like right at Narita. I guess like to you know he's coming in. I don't know. Like I don't know. I don't know what he was shooting, but he was shooting something. And ACH was there, walked up, said hello. He recognized me from Philly. A lot of the wrestlers did.
Everybody wrestlers recognizes did. You.
I'm hard to miss.
You're the literal elephant in the room.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Listen, I'm a little self-conscious about it. I'm in Japan. I'm the fucking goddamn one-man gang walking around
between
here.
You and Scott Norton.
Fuck.
What'd you think of this match, though? I mean, to me, like, this made me want to see Kota Ibushi versus ACH.
Yeah.
You know,
minus the masks. And exactly. they tried. It's always funny when you get guys who, you know, they have to put on the mask and work a different style and try not to expose the fact of who they are. I always find that rather hilarious. And it doesn't, I would say 9 times out of 10, it does not work. This was fine. I don't like, again, I think if you had Kota Ibushi versus ACH, you'd have a completely different match. There were moments where, you know, you got tastes of that. And as an opening match, this certainly wasn't bad at all. I mean, if I'm throwing the flakes as we like to do here, this week, you know, this is a solid average match, right? A 3 stars, right?
Sure, 3 stars.
Yeah.
I think that's what Meltzer gave it, as a matter of fact.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, I didn't see all of Meltzer's, and I'm dying to download and listen to his review of the show. The Tiger Mask W. And then, you know, not bad match, but then, you know, listen, the big news is the meeting of the minds, Colin Miller. The post match walk up with Tiger Mask W and yours truly.
When I saw it, you know, it's the weirdest thing because, okay, so I see Tiger Mask W go and, you know, shake your hand and there's no mistaking you, but it's a weird thing because it's not even like I'm like surprised. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, there's Damon. Like it's not really that big of a deal. Like to me, yeah. When I see it, it's like very natural, if that makes sense at all. Like it's
right,
not
that of 40,000 people, Kota Ibushi's going to come over and shake my hand.
Right. It didn't surprise me in the slightest. I'm not joking.
Yeah. It's just this whole week has been just like that though. That like that moment encapsulates everything of how this week has been. Like just crazy things like that happening. Listen, the fun follows me, guys. The fun, and listen, and the people who hung out this week that we met up and who tagged along, and listen, they've had some great fucking times. They're gonna have memories, Colin Miller. Memories.
All right, let's move on to the first title match of the evening for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. We saw the champs, the Young Bucks, defend against Roppongi Vice. Okay. I thought that this was a good match, but as far as a Young Bucks match, you can't go into this match and expect to see, for example, like a Young Bucks versus the Briscoes from Final Battle or Young Bucks from PWG. This is a more, you know, toned down version of the Bucks, I want to say, but when all was said and done, I thought it was a good match. I thought that dive that Beretta did was insane. That was a pretty cool spot. And Roppongi Vice picking up the win as Rocky Romero wins.
Yeah, and I think that was significant. I think I like this match a little bit more than you, Colin. This felt like a, this felt like a top tier, late 80s, midnights rock and roll type of match. I'm not saying it's directly comparable, but that, like, watching this match, that's what I, or like a, like an Arn and Tully versus the Rockers. It was that kind of feel to me.
I didn't dislike this match at all. And as a matter of fact, I'll go on record in saying I enjoyed this match considerably more than I did the junior tag match from the past two Wrestle Kingdoms.
Oh, God. I think it blows it away. I think Roppongi Vice is vastly underrated in this match. I think Roppongi Vice did a fucking great job. And specifically, Rocky Romero was unbelievable. Like, here's the thing, too. What has happened all summer, fall, leading up to Wrestle Kingdom? It's always been this tease of Roppongi Vice breaking up, right? And it's always been kind of Rocky Romero looking like the fucking dork, right? And looking like the shithead, and Trent kind of hand waving Rocky Romero. And in this match, like, so Rocky got worked over, I would say the majority of the match, if my recollection is correct. And then he was able, out of nowhere, to kind of get that pinfall and kind of get that, hey, I'm got my groove back, as we like to say. Like, I love that little element of that.
He was the baby face in peril in this match.
It was almost like that. Yeah, absolutely. Even though I fucking hate that term, but yeah, that's exactly right.
In peril or baby face?
Peril. I think all of it combined. I'm not a big peril fan. Like, who says peril just in normal conversation? No one.
I do.
Do you?
Yep.
Really? When was the last time you used the word peril?
This podcast.
Exactly. Right. It's because it's just become a term people use, you know, at this point. But no, I liked the match a lot. I thought better than the schmazes that we usually see. And I think by and large, Roppongi Vice were on point in this match, and I enjoyed it. I didn't mind the title change. You know, to me, that's not a big deal. Good match. I thought it was a real solid way to open, not open the show, but to really open the show. Because I don't, I know W and ACH was an opener, but I think this was a real opener. So good way to start.
And we move on to the next title match of the evening for the Never Trios title. This was the Gauntlet match, and the first match in the series. We saw the Bullet Club team of Yujiro Takahashi, Bad Luck Fale, and Hangman Page take on the Chaos team of Osprey, Yoshihashi, and Jado.
Yeah, look, I'm not gonna lie. This match is a blur to me.
Can we talk about Yujiro's girls?
I don't another bunny, right?
Yeah, that was Muffin Ass.
I saw her at Dash.
Did you?
She sat like maybe a row over and maybe two up. She walked right by us, and I was just like,
"Did you give her my number by any chance?"
I did not, because I have to be honest with you. I was speechless. She's absolutely stunning young lady. She walked right by. This match, Colin, disappointing in the sense that, one, it just seemed like, again, 5 pounds of shit in a 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag.
Well, that's Will Ospreay's specialty, isn't it?
It is. And that is probably a compliment meant for Will Ospreay. I don't recollect. Recollect much of this match. I remember Kojima being a bit of a house of fire. I remember Ospreay hitting a couple. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Ospreay and Ricochet were barely in the ring together.
Yeah, weren't in the ring together. No. Because the Bullet Club eliminated Chaos. So, actually, they weren't in the ring together at all.
Yeah. I mean, again, I know we're trying to get as many people as we can on a show, and we know why this match occurred. There is no room for a Will Ospreay Ricochet match, and I just something about it. Oh, he was at Stardom. He was at the Stardom show too.
Will Ospreay?
Yeah, he was very much jet lagged. He was just so tired. I felt so bad for the guy. And they were playing this very traditional Japanese music at the show, but it was very slow and, dare I say, somewhat depressing. And Will just looks at me and he goes, "Can they play something a little bit more upbeat? I'm falling asleep here." I was like, "Well, I don't control the fucking music." Yeah, I thought that was.
If you did, it would be Duran Duran, The Cure.
Let me tell you, we did the karaoke last night with our good pals from Australia, Claire and Kyle.
I was watching.
Let me tell you, they were the guys. If you remember back on the Sydney meetup, they joined us, and they're just so delightful. They're just so pleasant. Claire is such an adorable. Her favorite is Marufuji. Like she
has good taste.
Absolute favorite. She does. But she's a real fan. She's a real fan. And it was really cool. Like we were sitting kind of catty corner to one another, at the show. Like they were in the orange seats, like in the first row. Oh, and we were third row, and Marufuji comes out, and, Eric taps me on the shoulder and he's like, "Look over there." And she's bawling her eyes out because she'd lived her dream. She fucking got to see Marufuji live at a Noah show in Corken Hall. And I was just like, man, this is what it is all about.
Wait, you were at a Noah show too?
Yeah.
How many shows were you at, Damon?
But Noah show, I got a show today at Russell One.
Jesus.
Noah, Stardom, Dash, Dome, Big Japan.
What an animal.
All Japan.
Did you see a light tube match?
No, so for the Big Japan stuff, I got here, my flight was a little bit delayed getting in, and then there was so much traffic from Narita to my hotel that the show had already started, so Eric left the tickets at the hotel. I literally threw everything in my room, put on deodorant, brushed my teeth, left, got a cab to Cork, and I made it. They were in intermission, so I saw the last two matches, which were fucking great, tag team match. Definitely go out of your way to watch the Big Japan show from this week. At least after intermission, that was great. So yeah, it was about eight shows. Yeah.
Anyway, though,
it's been crazy.
Getting back to the match at hand here. So the Bullet Club eliminates the Chaos Team. Takahashi hits the DDT on Jado, and then the next team to come out, Los Ingobernables de Japón, Seiya Sanada, Evil, and Bushi. Now, is it just me, or when they came out, It just felt like stars have arrived in the match, and they just seemed so badass, did they not?
Yeah, and the production value is helping that, right? They made them feel like stars, but in the building, look, people, i.e. me, had sometimes hand waved the fact that they were super red hot and they sell a lot of merch and all that shit. They got fans, man. There are plenty of them, and they were in that building. So yeah, when they came out, they were ready. They looked like stars. They felt like stars.
Was a nothing match here. This second one, Sonata basically locks on the skull end on Takahashi for the submission, and that was that. It went about 2 minutes.
Yeah, which was fine by me because pretty much at that point, I look at mine and I was like, these fuckers are still in the ring. They're giving this match too much time. Let's keep going. It was a match. I can't fawn over this match. And an average match, but it's hard to do when you have 8 to 10 minutes and you're trying to do all that they did. So, meh.
And the final match in the gauntlet, LIJ taking on the never openweight trio champs, Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet, and David Finlay. And Damon, this match right here featured your favorite thing in pro wrestling.
What was that?
Missed.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say brawling in the crowd. I've seen a lot of brawling in the crowd.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to get upset over the missed, over the never belts, the never six-man belts. all these guys were put in a real tough spot. That's all I'll say. All these guys were put in a real tough spot to deliver and get over and get across this match in a relatively short amount of time. I think they did well with what they could do. Three stars. Are we still in the threes?
Here's the thing. I don't like to rate each individual match in this gauntlet. I kind of just like to look at this thing as a whole. And right. In doing that, if I'm being generous, I'll say, yeah, 3 stars. Good match.
Yeah. Right. Nobody's going to go back and watch it again. It served its purpose. Yeah. It did what it had to do.
Bushi blew the mist in Kojima's eyes. He turned into Newman from Jurassic Park. Evil hits the power bomb. Hits his finish on Kojima for the 1-2-3, and that is that. And you know how I knew LIJ was winning?
How?
Besides the obvious, if you looked at Bushi's mask, he has the Never logo like right on there. You know, well, like was he gonna waste money on that mask?
That's a good point.
If he wasn't winning, you know, just a little call and observation there. So,
yeah. Bushi is very frugal. He's not going to waste his money on
exactly. He's a known penny pincher.
Right.
Moving on. Next match here. We saw the debut of Cody, the American Nightmare, taking on Juice Robinson. Okay, I have a few things to say here. Number one, this wasn't a bad match at all. However, I think that this match did a lot more for Juice Robinson than it did for Cody. And Damon, I'm starting to get a bit frustrated by people trying to force the AJ Styles comparison on Cody Rhodes, because
they're out of their mind.
I think that you said this on a previous Purocast. AJ Styles on his worst day, you know, phoning it in, that match is better than Cody Rhodes' best match. And you know, all due respect to our buddy Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino, I know that it is their job to get the talent over, and they're trying to get, you know, Cody over in this match. But when they made that AJ Styles comparison, I was just, come on, that you guys know that isn't even remotely true.
It sounded like you know, they were talking shit about your boyfriend, Colin. you were having none of it. Look, Cody. First of all,
it's not fair to Cody either.
Well, Cody, as you noticed, you didn't get the Rhodes, which is mind-boggling to me to this day that the guy can't use Rhodes. But okay, great. Cody came out. Colin. Crickets, right? Juice, on the other hand, that people were behind him. And for all the reasons that it felt like we speak about all the time with this situation.
Right.
If they were behind Juice, they wanted Juice to get the win. It would have been awesome for him to get the win. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But this was the Juice Robinson elevation show, and you're exactly right. That Juice walked out of this match better than Cody Rhodes, in my mind, and I think in a lot of people's minds. And as we'll see maybe later on in the week, the promotion's mind as well. Now, I know Cody had I think he was in London the next night or the night after, right? So people who were speculating, oh, well, he wasn't at Dash, so he's being played down, you know, or toned down, or they weren't happy with him. Relax on that. He had prior obligations. That's why he wasn't at Dash. But he didn't, to me, it wasn't like he had a first impression or made a first impression that is going to blow anybody away. Like this was not a spectacular debut by any stretch of the imagination. Now again, New Japan's good with the slow burn. New Japan takes its time. You know, it's things don't happen in a week. I get that. I didn't feel this at all, and I think just the opposite. I think it was Cody's negative was juices positive in
right.
this? And we talk about career defining and career moments. To me, this is a Juice Robinson career moment. Not on the same scale of Omega, but on his career path that he's currently on, this is one of those moments where you could look at 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, and say, this might be the spot where he took that next level.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And this, to me, this was no different than any of the Cody Rhodes matches that I saw on Bola or any of his indie stuff. This wasn't, what more can
this
we say?
This is what you get.
Yeah.
This is what you get from him.
This guy is a solid hand. You know, he's a decent pro wrestler. He's not this big foreign star that's going to come into the promotion and take it by storm. He's just not.
And you're not going to get tremendous matches. You're going to get, the ceiling on a Cody Rhodes match. Let's be truthful. The absolute fucking ceiling right now.
It's 3.5 stars if I'm being generous.
Okay. I was even going to be even better and say 4. Because, listen, we sit here. Well, hear me out. We sit here and we blast like Nakanishi for months, right? And then all of a sudden he pulls out like this gem that you're just a great match, right? So we say that a lot, right? Taguchi's another person, right, who will sit there and we'll just lay the boots to, 10 months out of the year. And then for 2 months, he's just like, oh, my God, it's tremendous. So I'm not going to give Cody Rhodes – I'm going to give Cody Rhodes the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say a 4 is his ceiling, right? But truth be told, you're getting 3s. You're getting 3s for the majority of the time. To me, that's not worthy of a roster spot. Like, I'm hard-pressed to think why Cody Rhodes would have a roster spot and a paycheck over some other people. It just – my opinion.
Yeah, so the finish of this match, we saw Cody Rhodes block Juice's pulp friction finish, hit the crossroads for the 1-2-3, and there you go. So we move on to the next title match of the evening for the ROH World Championship. We saw the champion Kyle O'Reilly defend against the challenger Adam Cole. I actually like this match a lot better than I like their match at Final Battle from this past December. It was a different kind of match. Of course, the one at Final Battle was more of a bloodbath, a brawl, and this one was more of a straight-up pro wrestling match, which is what I prefer. We knew going into this that this match wasn't going to get a lot of time. It went about 10 minutes. I think that if they would have given it 5 more minutes, it could have been great. But we saw history here as Adam Cole becomes the first ever 3-time ROH World Champion. And that kind of paints the picture for what is in store for Mr. Kyle O'Reilly's future. And Damon, to be honest with you, I'm kind of bummed out because Kyle O'Reilly is one of those guys who is just tailor-made to work in Japan. I feel like if he would stay, his future in NJPW could be we could see some big things. But look, I guess money talks. Is that what it comes down to? I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, he's got a family. He's got a kid. I think he has a kid. I know he has a wife. I think he has a wife.
That maybe man has a family.
I know he's a family of some kind. Yes. Look, you know what I got to do tomorrow, Colin? I got to go on a plane and sit in that fucking seat for 12 hours. How do they do it constantly? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's you can't, if you're an American and you're going to make your living going on New Japan tours, that's a tough life to live. That's a real tough life to live. And I know for a fact that lots of people are unhappy with Ring of Honor being the lone option, right? So what's the other option? NXT.
Orlando.
And WWE with the idea and the hopes of making more money and providing for their family and not having to have that flying overseas every month. know, that takes its toll.
And quite frankly, not having to work is hard.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely. You got to learn their style. You got to learn where the hard camera is.
Hey, it's Nakamura still doesn't know where that damn hard camera is, apparently.
Apparently not. Here's the problem with this match. This is a good match.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong environment. Like, you can't put this match in that building.
I will say, though, this was, to me, this was better received than the Jay Lethal versus Michael Elgin match from last year. Just mm-hmm. my personal opinion, observation.
Yeah, I think so. But again, it's just I know why Ring of Honor wants to do this, and I know it's obvious their motivations in having their world title defended on a major show like this. And of course, why wouldn't they? Not blaming them at all, but this match is always going to be this type of feeling you're going to get from these Ring of Honor matches. You're going to get a good match. You're going to get two guys who are trying and working very hard to put on a great match, and it's just losing steam at every opportunity just because people can't get behind it. It's tough. It's tough for the Japanese audience to get behind a Ring of Honor belt that, truth be told, means nothing to them. It really doesn't mean anything to them. And they do know Kyle O'Reilly, and they're getting more familiar with Adam Cole. But this match just not in this building. If you wanted to run this, that match would have been perfect at Dash. That match would have been.
You know what? I have to agree with you.
That they would have tore the house down if that were in Dash, because that was a good match. It was just the wrong environment.
All right, moving on to the next title match of the evening for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles. This was a three-way featuring the tag champs, the Guerrillas of Destiny, defending against GBH, of course, Togi Makabe and Tomo Akihonma, and the team of Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii. Damon, I don't remember much about this match, and I'll tell you why. I was very distracted, and obviously, I don't know if you could hear this from where you were sitting, but okay, so I'm watching the English commentary feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this match featured the most F-bombs out of any pro wrestling match I've ever seen. And after about the 12th Eat shit, motherfucker, from Tongaloa.
Yeah.
Steve Corino just loses it. He loses it. He can't even commentate. He's laughing hysterically. He can't even commentate. Kevin Kelly then starts to lose it. I then start to lose it on my couch. I'm laughing. I'm not even paying attention to the wrestling at that point, because these guys can't even commentate, because, you know, every other word, eat shit, motherfucker, fuck you, fucking piece of shit. Like, this was not a family friendly match. Everybody, especially Tongaloa, there was a lot of expletives being thrown around. So as far as the match quality of this, I don't know. Was this a good match? I think it was decent.
So let me touch on your first point. So I got wind of this last night. Again, our good friend Kyle had his he was talking about just what you were saying. I was like, really? I did. They were going. I mean, I know that, you know, Will Ospreay will throw out a motherfucker and
Juice Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. But
this was way beyond. This was like.
Like, everything revolved around a dirty cuss word.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he played the part of the match. It wasn't even all the match. He played part of the match. And yeah, it was. I don't want to say it was embarrassing, but
it kind of was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't show anybody this match.
No.
Right. I'd have to mute it.
Around the table at Christmas.
Yeah.
Wonderful. The match itself.
Did you like the finish of it with Yano doing the double nut shot? Ishii hits the Lariatos.
No,
I didn't care for it either.
No.
I felt like Ishii did very little in this match. Like, I felt that his talent, you know, Ishii was one of the five nominees in our Wrestler of the Year category, and boy, did his talent feel wasted to me in this match.
I couldn't agree more. It was, and I think he felt it. You know, I really want to hope. Here's what I'm hoping for, and this is a weird hope, so don't take this the wrong way. I actually hope he's kind of hurt, and that would and that would explain why he was in the position that he's in.
Well, I think, you know, he lives hurt, so
true. You know, being in a tag environment is a little bit safer, and he can spare his body a little bit than being in those brutal singles matches. I don't know, maybe he just didn't have a singles match in him this year. Who knows? But yeah, look, I can't say that I'll remember anything about this match.
I remember a lot about this match.
The cursing, yeah. I think if you sit here and you say, okay, a week from today, who's the tag team champions? I don't think people are going to be quick to say Yano and Ishii.
I almost forgot.
Yeah.
I had to think about who won this match. Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, looking at my pictures on my Facebook wall, I could very well be the tag team champion.
That's right. I saw that picture, and, you know, look, Yano and Ishii stole the belts.
Yeah, I know.
You should take that home with you.
Dude, this is after 1,000 beers, and we went to Yano's, and we had such a great time with the people who got us the tickets. So they got us in. We're in a corner, which is nice. We're on couches. We're having a great time. Those people were ready to drink, right? So it was me. Again, we keep mentioning our Australian friends, Claire and Kyle, who are fantastically fun. Eric. There was another guy who's from New Zealand. What was his name? He listens to the show, Colin. Like, he just sits down and he goes, hey, you're Damon, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, hey, I listen to you all the time, blah, blah, blah. And he just, the cheeky bastard, just took a seat with us. I was like, all right, stay. I mean, that's a good move. The dude played it very well.
Yeah.
He lives in Tokyo. Oh, fuck. Dude, just do me a favor. Hit us on Twitter when you hear this, because the name and the hangover just doesn't help. And then, you know, it's Fumi and all the just an unbelievable time. So this is like five or six beers in. And Fumi is pretty notorious in the Japanese wrestling circles because he makes these paper titles, right? And they're so beautiful. They're made of paper, but they look like the real thing. And all these old belts, and he made me one. It's really awesome. So I thought at first when they were carrying – around this belt, it was a belt that Fumi made, this paper belt, right? So it comes around, and I pick it up, and it's heavy as fuck. And I'm like, God damn, what the hell is this? And they're like, it's the fucking tag belt. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm holding the tag belt. This is crazy. So we're passing around, everybody's passing. Yano's coming over, we're getting pictures. That's the kind of night it was. That's the kind of trip it was.
When you posted that photo, I love the comment that one of our listeners made. It was something to the effect of, and you thought that the tag division couldn't get any lower.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's who I recognize. I'm recognizing myself as the tag team champion right now. All right, so this match was great. And unfortunately, another three-star general, right? Another their match.
Right. I think that the GOD versus GBH from the World Tag League Finals, that was way better than this match.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's hard, again, it's hard to just shove 5 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bag. As much as I love Yano right now for all that he did outside of this, if I'm being objective, he was the shits in this match. He really wasn't that great. But, all right, whatever, what are you going to do?
Now is the point where the show gets kicked up to 11. And we're going to start off with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match. We saw the champion Kushida defend against the challenger, the time bomb, Hiromu Takahashi. Damon, we've said it before on this podcast, and we'll say it again. This Hiromu Takahashi, I'll tell you what, he has got a certain superstar quality about him that you can't quite put your finger on. but you just know that he is going to be a major player in the junior heavyweight division in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's going to take it to new heights.
He's got a fire, and it's not even an energy. You used charisma before. He is just a spark and a lightning rod. His entrance at Wrestle Kingdom was great with those giant balloons flopping around.
Yeah. Did you get to bat one of them around?
You don't even remember. I got a finger on it. Yes. Again, we called him just like a dirty prick. Like, he just seems like that, but he's dangerous and exciting. You know, he's, know what he reminds me of, and this might be a shit analogy, but he reminds me of like a rock band that is just getting a buzz, you know, and just, but are doing things that are really revolutionary. Like, maybe I'll throw out a Nirvana, like Nirvana in the very early 90s, where there's this energy and this excitement around him and this difference.
That's a good comparison, actually, I think.
Right? Like, that's how I feel when I watch him. Like, he's just got this mojo going that if he can ride this, it's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome ride.
He might be Mr. Mojo Rising.
Right, but he's got that quality, and this match.
This was my second favorite match on the card, and I didn't think that would be the case going into this event. I mean, would you say that this is probably the best juniors match at a dome show since I don't even know when?
It's been a while, yeah, because it had a little bit of everything. Like, it had high-flying, nutty craziness, right? It had really solid, strong, working pro wrestling, like with Kushida constantly going back to the arm, constantly going back for the arm for the hoverlock. Here's the thing: when intermission hit, or not intermission, but you know, they did the announcements for the calendar year for New Japan, I said to Eric, I said, all right, this is obviously where business picks up, right? And this match really helped solidify and helped both guys. Like, I don't think either guy was hurt, but it absolutely helped Takahashi beyond belief. He's had great matches in Mexico. He's had some decent matches in Ring of Honor, but man, since day one, since his return back from New Japan, he has been red fucking hot. You had to give him the belt. And now, here's the thing too, the whole junior situation really has gotten a lot more interesting just in the past couple of days. Again, we said before, these are the shows that shake things up. I'm excited about what the future holds. I love this guy holding the belt. People challenging him for the belt, it's gonna be good.
I mean, just look at who we have now at the top of the junior heavyweight division in 2017. We've got Takahashi, we've got Kushida. I mean, these two are gonna have, you know, this is going to be the junior
marquee.
Yeah, exactly, the marquee junior heavyweight feud. You know, we've got Ospreay, we've got Ricochet. Just the amount of talent in the junior heavyweight division now is staggering.
Think about a Ricochet.
Takahashi. Oh my God! An Ospreay Takahashi match.
Think about Best of the Super Juniors.
It's going to be off the charts this year, and just
I hope so. I don't want to be disappointed.
We don't want a Super J Cup on our hands here.
Right.
I mean, after all, Taichi is back. So
right, you got to take the good with the bad. Look, this all of a sudden got very exciting in the juniors again.
There were some things in this match that, quite frankly, scared the shit out of me. When Takahashi did that dive on the outside to Kushida, I looked at that when he did that, and I thought to myself, if I did that, I would have shattered my tailbone. Like, that, you know, to me, that was just breathtaking. And Kushida did the old Kyle O'Reilly spot that he did, where he catches him in the armbar, you know,
yeah, on the ground,
when he comes off the apron. Just this junior match had it all, and you know, like you said, this was the right time to pull the trigger. on Takahashi here and make him the star of the junior heavyweight division. And we're in for some real treats in 2017.
Give me the snowflakes.
Well, I'll tell you what Big Dave gave it. He gave it 4.5.
Okay. What do you give it?
What does Colin Miller give it? It's definitely, I'm definitely over 4. Do I want to go 4.75? Honestly, I'm probably, even before I read what he gave it, I'm probably at the 4.5 mark myself.
Yeah, that's where I gave him. That's where I'm at. 4.5, which is a fucking great match, right? So, boom, now we're out of the gate. 4.5 star match, and then we still have 3 of the most different style, right?
Right.
Top tier pro wrestlers in 2017, ready to go in singles matches. So here we go. We set the palette. We'll call it 4.5. Some people might go higher. Some people might call it low. Who cares? But we know we had a great match right out of the gate for the juniors. We're excited for the future. What's up next, Colin?
Up next, for the NEVER Openweight Championship, we saw the champion Katsuyori Shibata defend against the challenger, one of our favorites, good old Hirooki Goto.
Colin, he won our most unsung hero.
He did.
And if this guy doesn't get some mad fucking props, and I'm talking about Hirooki Goto, he is absolutely in a big spot, one of the fucking best in the world. And he is so underrated. It is sickening. He was amazing in this match. And you know what I really like about him? His offense looks like it fucking hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Like
those headbutts. Like,
the headbutts, the knees. The like kicks. When he does that one where he's doing the cross across the knee, dropping somebody on his knee, the back of the head. He's unbelievable. And in these matches, and again, this is one of those fucking beefy guy, I'm going to kick the shit out of you matches. This is your NEVER open weight title, right? This is exactly what you want.
This defines it pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the kick the shit out of you title, right? Unbelievably great match. Unbelievably great match. And to me, you know, earlier we talked about the junior match with Rocky Romero. To me, Goto was the fucking star of this match. And that's not taking anything away from Shibata. But to me, Goto was amazing in this match. This was a absolutely tremendous performance by Hirooki Goto.
Absolutely. I agree with everything that you just said. I will say this, if I'm being honest. I did like the Shibata versus Ishii match from last year's Wrestle Kingdom better than this Goto match. But I have only watched this one time, so I'm going to go back, I'm going to give it a rewatch, and maybe after the second viewing, they'll be neck and neck for me. Or maybe I'll grow to like this one better. But yeah, well said. Great match. How many snowflakes are you throwing at this one? 4.25?
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's the question you got to ask. Was this match better than the junior match?
See, to me, the junior match, that was my second favorite match on the card. There was something about that junior match that was just, it had this daredevil feel to it. And, you know, like we said, a lot of the credit for that goes to Takahashi.
I think this was better than the junior match.
You like this one better? Okay. And normally I would, it would seem like this would be more up my alley than that junior match. But I don't know, for whatever reason on that night, something about that junior match clicked more with me. But look, this was a great match again, somewhere in that area between 4 and 5 stars.
Yeah. If I'm given, if I liked, I did like it more. But again, that's like saying I liked filet mignon and I liked lobster, you know.
Which you eat every night, I'm sure.
Living large. I mean, look, was it a 5-star? No. Was it a 4-star better?
Absolutely.
You got to give it in that 4 range. I'm going to make the one. I'm sitting here fucking. It was an awesome fucking match.
Right.
Great match between two guys who fucking destroyed each other for our pleasure. That's the best I can give you.
So Hirooki Goto winning the Never Openweight title, hitting his GTR finish. And can we say that Goto got his groove back? Again?
Yes, we can say that. Yes. And maybe put that to rest.
All right, moving on to the semi-main event of the evening. For the IWGP Intercontinental title, we have the champion, Tetsuya Naito, defending against the challenger, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Now, let's get the negatives out of the way first.
All right.
Damon, this new theme of Tanahashi's, it's not doing him any favors. This was a bad idea to retire the high energy theme that was so synonymous with Tanahashi. This isn't going to catch on. I can already tell you it's not going to catch on because there's no hook. There is no hook in this new theme. I don't know who came up with this. I don't know who thought that this was a good idea. I'm actually going to make a prediction. He's going to go back to high energy this year.
It's not. Okay. So he's ready to come out and the crowd is excited because it's Tanahashi. And this new music hits and like everybody gave it a chance. Like everybody was like, okay, let's give it a chance. Let's do this. But in the back of everybody's mind, everybody wanted to, it was the moment that you wanted to hear high energy, right? I'm sorry. That's what the people wanted. And I get the idea that Tanahashi kind of wants to, I don't want to say reinvent himself, but just add a new layer on top of his legacy. And again, this is not even about taking a back seat necessarily. This is more of, you know, let's redefine who Tanahashi is, and maybe new music is the right thing to do. Nobody liked it.
It was the wrong thing to do.
No one liked it.
And here's the thing. If you want to reinvent yourself, that's great. But this was the exact same Tanahashi that, you know, coming out, doing the air guitar. The only thing that was different was the music. And it sucked.
Yeah, it did stink. It did meander. It was all over the place. That's for sure.
This go ace. And then there's no hook. The melody's weird. I don't see this catching on. I'm sorry.
I said to Eric too. I said I would not be surprised if this is a by the summer we're back to high energy. It just didn't work. And to me, you felt that he felt it. You know what I mean? And maybe they're just going
to
push. I think so. And I think, but sometimes you know you just push through and you know. A little uncomfortability for people in the short term is better for the long term. Maybe that's the case, but it right out of the gate, there were people that just, you know, I don't know. That's not the place you debut music. To me, that's just not the place that, you know what I mean? Ease into it. You don't do that because again, people are paying money to, that's what they want. That's what they want.
It's funny too because I was watching New Year Dash the next day, the English commentary feed, and at one point during the show, Steve Corino goes to Kevin Kelly. So, Kevin, what do you think of Tanahashi's new theme? And Kevin kind of pauses for a second and he says, "I like this old theme."
he's telling the line. Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
We can. Without handcuffs, say that it stinks. We're not fans. And,
now, moving on to the positives now. Damon, I don't know what it was. You know, we knew that Tetsuya Naito was a star. You know, we knew LIJ was hot. But there was something about that entrance at this show. The atmosphere, the environment, when his music hit and he came out. That, to me, like all of the puzzle pieces came together for Naito at that point, and it was that feeling of, wow, this guy's huge.
If this means anything, he's the only entrance I recorded. Like, it was going on. I was like, I gotta fucking record this.
And I watched
it. This is amazing. Yeah. I mean, he's the guy, man.
This was a legendary entrance to me.
It was tremendous. Listen, he's got fans. He's got plenty of fans. The young lady that I sat next to at Dash, she was a humongous fan. The girl sitting next to her, humongous fan. And that's one thing too. He's got guys and he's got girls. He really does. He's got guys and he's got girls as fans.
It's just the Flatiron, man.
it might be the bad. I don't know. It's kind of like the bad boy thing. It felt like. You know what I mean? That's really what it feels like. It feels like the girls that were fans were, you know, into the more of his, you know, rebelliousness than anything else.
You tell me that I need that.
I've told you that from day one, Colin. I've told you that from day fucking one. But you won't listen to me. Let's talk about this match, shall we?
Let's talk about this match. Look, on any other card, this right here would have been match of the night. This was a phenomenal match. This was almost... I feel like in many ways, this was a career-defining match for both of these competitors for very different reasons. It was like a transitional match for Tanahashi's career. And for Tetsuya Naito, this was like the... Almost a legend making match.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, you know, piece of the puzzle to his career. That's for sure. This match, you know, I think it was who said something about this. I'm trying to get the exact quote in my mind, and I think it was Voices of Wrestling, and I think Joe Lanza usually does most of the Big Show reviews. So
he's online right now. You want me to get him on?
Can you patch him in? it probably was him, because like I said, he usually writes the reviews for the big New Japan shows because he's earned that spot. He wrote, I'm bringing it up here, it is, got it, good. The junior match was the sprint. The never open weight title match was the fight. This was the story. I like that. I think that speaks volume as to who these guys are, what they do, and really the construction of this match made it feel like that. Again, I don't want to say it's a changing of the guard, but it was. You can't get more. You know, there was no shenanigans, no bullshit. This was a clean 1-2-3 pin for Naito in the middle of the ring at the Tokyo Dome, and that is significant.
And I agree with you. Very eloquently put there by Mr. Lanza. I like that.
Yeah, and the match itself was tremendous. And once again, Tanahashi comes through in the big way. I don't care if he's hurt. I don't care if he's got one leg. I don't care if he's got a bruise on his spine. I don't care if he's, you know, got water on the knee. I don't care if he's got shin splints.
Operation. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter, because in a big spot, in a big way, when he knows it's on the line, the man delivers. Now, was this a Tanahashi Okada classic? But this was a great, great match.
This was as good as a lot of Tanahashi Okada matches.
This was right up there, missing a little something special. And this is not a knock, because you can't have Tanahashi Okadas every fucking time. They don't grow on trees. So what you got was a great, fucking fantastic match. But it wasn't that, and that's okay. That's okay. And shall I say, to this point, it was the best match on the show. To me, it was the best match on the show to this point.
Yeah, like I said, on any other show, this hands down is the best match. But
here's the thing. Yeah, it's Wrestle Kingdom. I'm sorry, Con. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's
there,
okay.
But for years, you know, you had Nakamura that put on just death-defying, fantastic pro wrestling matches, right? And then, and I'm sure he walked out of there thinking, okay, motherfuckers, top that. And for 2 years in a row, they did, right? For 2 years in a row, they fucking topped it. Okay, this is the first year out of three that Tanahashi walked in the back, gave the look to Okada and said, okay, fucker, top that. Well, guess what? Tonight, he came in with the short end of the stick.
And before we move on, quick question for you. In your opinion, what would you say is a better match? This Naito versus Tanahashi match or the Nakamura versus Tanahashi match from Wrestle Kingdom 8? I'm going with the Naito match. It's a tough one, isn't it?
I might go Naito only because it's fresher. That's a tough one. I'll say Naito Tanahashi just out of the gate right now. Again, just because it's fresher. I might change my mind tomorrow on that. So I'm going to give you an uncommitted Naito
story
Tanahashi
of your life.
Sure. I'm only committed to one thing.
All right, now we move on to the main event of the evening for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Kazuchika Okada, defending against the challenger, the cleaner, Kenny Omega. Damon, look, I've been thinking about, you know, after this match ended, I've been thinking about, boy, what am I possibly going to say on the PuroCast? How am I going to talk about this match without turning into the crying, it's still real to me, damn it, guy? I have a few things I want to start off with. Number one, one of the key ingredients for me personally that turns a great pro wrestling match into a classic one is when you're able to get me so emotionally invested and so worked up that I am actually angry at one of the opponents in the ring because if they're beating my guy. The last time that happened for me was probably AJ versus Tanahashi from the G1 Climax 25. That's the last time I can remember that happening, where you just got me, my blood got so boiling that I was angry at one of the competitors. To me, that is one of the signs that I am watching something truly remarkable. Second thing I want to say, and I'm going to sound like a broken record. We've said it many times before on this podcast. I've said it many times before. New Japan Pro Wrestling is leading the way in the artistic renaissance that is going on in pro wrestling currently. And now, you know, the two guys who are carrying the torch for this renaissance, Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada.
You know, I feel the same in the sense of how do we do a podcast with people who actively listen and care about what we say about this match. I've had more people come up to me after this match and say, I can't wait to hear the PuroCast and hear Colin and you talk about what you thought about this match. So here we go.
Let me preface this by saying I'm not a guy who likes to say this is the best anything, whether it's, you know, this is the best album of all time, this is the best song of all time, this is the best match of all time. I'm sitting here on this Saturday evening that we're recording. I can safely say to you, Damon, this is the best pro wrestling match I have ever seen in my life.
So I'm sitting here somewhat shaking, like somewhat feeling my body chemistry kind of changing, in the sense of I'm kind of recollecting moments and spots on this match and kind of what I was feeling and what was going on with the crowd that I was with and the audience. And so pro wrestling to me is a real wonderful escape from, I don't want to say reality, but it's why people watch movies. It's why people listen to music. It's why people enjoy sports. It's a release from everyday life. When you get moments like an Okada Omega match in an environment like that, it's a spectacle. and it's a show, but it becomes even more because what those two were able to do was to draw 30-something thousand people and the millions watching at home into states of euphoria and just nervousness and excitement.
And cursing at the screen.
And cursing. And that is so difficult to do, especially with this jaded, hard, I've seen it all, I think I know it all pro wrestling audience today. It's a tough thing to do. These two had me so out of my mind with emotion and the roller coaster. Grown men who have important lives were turned into 12-year-old children just going crazy with smiles. And you ever have something in your life where emotion takes over so hard that your only natural reaction is to just start laughing? Whether that's stress or whatever happens, your body just kind of shuts and you just start laughing. That was the entire building. And the laughter is not a haha, look at that kind of laughter. It's my body is shutting down because the stimulus that is coming to me is overwhelming. You know, I sat here this time last year and I talked about Okada and I talked about Tanahashi being the greatest match I've ever seen.
I wanted to go there. I wanted to put you on the spot.
And I, you know, at the time it was, I talked about that emotion and how, you know, people couldn't sleep and Mackie and Eric himself, we had to go to a diner at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning just to kind of get the release out. Colin, grown men were in tears because they knew they saw something that they've never seen before. People were just out of their minds, giddy and happy and thrilled that they could be a part of a pro wrestling match like that. So I sat here last year and I said, you know, I've watched wrestling for a good 30 years, right? And I think I've seen a lot. And at that time, I was like, Colin, I am not afraid to sit here and tell you that that was the greatest match I've ever seen in my entire life. And I know people were kind of like, wow, the greatest match I've ever? Really? That the greatest match? Yes, without question. And there were people that would back up my statement. People that I respected in this business and people that, you know, Meltzer being one of them. Friends.
Colin
fans
Miller being one of them.
Colin, yeah, I mean, listen, the list was long. So let me do this now and say, the emotions that I felt that night or that morning paled in comparison to what I experienced at the Tokyo Dome. It was nearly an out-of-body experience. When he hit that fucking spinning pile driver. And again, all the spots after, the table spot.
The dragon suplex from the top rope.
The dragon suplex from the top fucking rope. You know, I just bought the Weekly Gong. They I don't know how they do it, but they're able to get the magazine out. And I'm looking at the pictures. I'm going to just go grab this thing right now. 1 second. And I'm looking at the pictures of it. And just some of the photos and some of the entrances. Can we talk about the entrance? Something as silly as the entrances.
Oh, this was
the pre-packaged. Yeah,
Kenny Omega's entrance. This was a Colin Miller entrance right here. Look, Terminator 2: Judgment Day, one of my favorite movies of all time. A movie I grew up watching as a child. That just almost brought me to tears when he came out with the Terminator mask on and the sawed-off shotgun. That. Right away, you know, right up my alley.
You know, a lot of credit goes to Kenny Omega in this. But Okada, how smooth he is. And even like a lot of the I'm going to say that the callback spots, but like, you know, him grabbing the wrist once again.
Yep, holding on after the Rainmaker. Yep.
And the dive that he did onto the floor, you know, how he sprints across the floor and dives over the guardrail. It's just un-fucking believable.
That's what's interesting about this match is that, like, I feel like Kenny Omega is the talk of the town. You know, people are calling him, you know, the greatest big match performer in pro wrestling right now. But, you know, it, as the old saying goes, it takes two to tango, right? And come
it
on.
It takes two to Tongaloa.
Yeah, right. It takes two to Tongaloa. Seriously, though. Come on. Okada. You have to give credit where credit is due. Man.
But even so, man, let me tell you. Kenny Omega hit a fucking dropkick off the top rope to the back of Okada's head that I thought it had to destroy brain matter. It just potatoed him. The double stomp on the table on the outside, right? Remember that spot? He does the double. He put a hole in the table, for Christ's sake. Just the knee strikes, the suplex from the top. That stuffed. I don't even know what it's called. That kind of like package pile driver thing that Kenny Omega did. Again, kicking out of the fucking Rainmaker. Who kicks out of the Rainmaker, Colin?
It took Nobody four Rainmakers to put away Kenny Omega.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and it was the right time to do these things. You know, the things that they did made sense. So, as I sit here today, Sunday in Tokyo, at exactly 11 a.m., the clock's just struck. I look out my window. Here it is. A beautiful day in Tokyo once again.
It just struck 9 p.m. here.
This was the greatest match I've ever seen.
I knew it.
This was the greatest match I have ever fucking seen. And I don't know how, by the good grace of God, I was able to sit my ass and be there live, counting my blessings, because that was the greatest match I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, this match, you know, like I said, it took me on such a roller coaster of emotions. And there was a certain point in this match, and this is where sort of my anger came in, where I was like, okay, Kenny Omega has to win this match. This is the time. They have to pull the trigger right now. If they're serious about this American expansion, this is the guy who is, you know, he's the one who's going to be leading the way. You know, he's the total package. He has to win. Now is the time. Biggest stage of the year. You've got to do it. And they didn't do it. And
tranquilo. Exactly.
I'm trying. You know, that's one of my New Year's resolutions, Damon. That's kind of my mantra for 2017, if you will, is tranquilo. But in that moment, and I think you you saw that when I texted you, I was very heated, to say the least. But
plenty of time. There's listen.
As the hours passed, I calmed down and I thought to myself, well, look, he's gonna win the title in 2017. There's no doubt about it. That is going to happen. But it did not need to be at Wrestle Kingdom 11. And as a matter of fact, the more I thought about it, Okada. Again, we talked about it for weeks on this podcast. I was saying, man, Damon, Okada has to win. Omega's been getting the better of him week after week after week, even pinning him in that one tag match. Okada, I feel now, looking back on it, he kind of had to win to really prove once again. You know, he beat Tanahashi last year. Now he beat Kenny Omega. He had to win to solidify his place as the ace of this company.
How big of a rematch is that going to be at Wrestle Kingdom 12?
Really?
Because why not? Why would you do it anywhere else?
Oh, look, buddy, this is where I disagree with you. No. Omega has to be champion before they do their shows in the U.S.
No. Why? Why?
Why? He's the guy who's going to be leading he's
Colin,
the face of the expansion.
Colin, what the fuck? Do you think that we're selling out a 15,000 seat building? No.
Well, no. But
this is going to be in a 2,000 seat building. Maybe five at most. This is not. They're not going to the Forum. They're not going. You know.
So
not going
you want to hold off on this match for? You want to hold on off on this match for a whole year? You don't even. You don't want to do this on Dominion?
No. Fuck. Why?
In Osaka, in front of a hot crowd?
No. Why? Huh.
All right.
Because you can get 35, 40,000 people to the fucking dome. Because people are jacked. Because people are ready to go.
That's a good point.
A fucking year build. Be patient, people. Be patient.
So you're saying Omega wins the G1 Climax 27?
I don't know how we get there.
Here's my idea. They're not doing Invasion Attack this year. It's a brand new pay-per-view. I hate to use that word. Show. Sakura Genesis. Look, let's just have Omega win the New Japan Cup. Let's have the match there, you know, to kind of solidify this new show as a big deal. Let's do the title change there. Let's just do it.
No. Why? Why would you waste it?
I don't see how that's a waste.
Because you're doing it not at the fucking dome. Can you imagine the build? Colin, pro wrestling is best at its best when there is a build and an excitement and an anticipation. No, you keep them away. And guess what they're doing? They're keeping them away, right?
And Omega did allude to that in some tweets, saying that he really has to reassess his career now and take a break, kind of stand back for a bit.
Yeah, that's a bullshit tweet. Because the story is keep them away, because we're going to build for a year. Be patient, people. Be patient. We're not going to burn out Kenny Omega. We're not going to burn again. I'm all excited. We're not going to burn out Okada Omega on any other show besides the Dome. Why would you? You had a 6-star match that the entire wrestling world is buzzed about, right? You got a 6-star match at the Tokyo Dome. Here's what you have right now. You have Okada Tanahashi 2. Replace Tanahashi with Omega.
And that has to be at the Dome.
Colin.
Okada Tanahashi, each and every one of their matches wasn't at the Dome.
Okay, tell me where they were.
Okada won, correct me if I'm wrong.
G1.
But Okada won the title off of Tanahashi at Invasion Attack. And that was right after their Wrestle Kingdom 7 dome match.
That is true. Okay, I'll give you, look.
That's kind of where I'm going. Look, this is just my opinion of what they should do. Who knows what they're really going to do? I don't know.
I think people are way out of their minds with this U.S. expansion stuff. Guys,
strike while the iron's hot.
Okay, strike with what? With what funds? Colin, they're running 2,000-seat buildings, 3,000-seat buildings. What are they striking?
Do you think
they're going to bring in 19,000 people?
I've even heard you say on this podcast before, on a very early episode, that you're not a big fan of waiting, like let's hold off on this match. Let's wait. Who knows what could happen between?
I agree. There could be. I agree.
You don't know what could happen. So, I see. I'm sorry. I just don't agree with you. I don't agree that they should hold off on this match until Wrestle Kingdom 12. I'm sorry.
Nope. Slow burn it. Slow burn this fucker. Yep. I don't want to see them in the ring with each other until Dome. That's here's the thing. What else are you going to headline with? Colin, you have. Here's the only thing that's, and it's not even holding them back anymore because they just headlined the Dome. But that's your marquee match. That's your match. You're going to burn it out in Invasion Attack. What are we going to do? We're going to do this WWE style where they're wrestling every other month?
Well, obviously not. Every other month. I don't think having a match at Dominion is every other month.
Dude, I'm telling you. Would it mean more to have that match at the Dome? Like, don't let the fact that you want to see it again quickly cloud the judgment of, let's wait and do this again.
I don't want to see it again quickly, but I don't want to wait here either.
Okay. All right. Well, wait a year.
in my opinion, I don't want them to hold off until Wrestle Kingdom 12. But if they do, then so be it. Either way, we're going to see this match again, and it's going to be amazing. So I have faith in whatever they decide to do, whatever Ghetto decides to do, will be the right thing. And we just have to wait and see what that is going to be. And, you know, if it were up to me, I'd just have Omega win the New Japan Cup, and we'd see it probably at that Genesis show. Let me ask you something. If they do that, are you going to be pouting about it? Really?
I mean, who's
are you
going to
be angry if you see this match earlier than Wrestle Kingdom 12? Are you going to be hot?
I do a show about a wrestling promotion. Like, you know, like,
that's right.
But I think it would be a wrong move. I really do. I really think it would be a wrong move.
Okay.
I mean, why would you? Okay, so then what do you headline with?
I don't know.
I mean, I know it's a year in advance, but what do you headline with?
I don't know. They'll figure that out. I feel like we haven't had a good argument on the PuroCast in a while, actually.
Oh, I want to jump through the fucking computer and strangle you.
A good call. And I see that's great, though.
Is it?
That's great. Right. I love it.
All
right. And
I'll see you.
I have that effect on many people.
Sitting here screaming at myself in a mirror. I'm like, scream. What the fuck?
But
sure,
that,
all right.
That is Wrestle Kingdom 11, folks. Let me ask you this, Damon. Wrestle Kingdom 10 or Wrestle Kingdom 11?
I'm not answering that question.
All right.
I mean, I was there, so it is cheating.
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting. You know, you have a more intimate connection to this show than you did with 10. So
yeah. But I'm going 11.
The question probably is a little. I'm going 11 as well.
Yeah, I might have to go 11.
Well, what do you say now we move on to some of the fallout from the New Year Dash show the night after the Raw after Wrestle Kingdom, if you will.
No, I'm not talking to you.
Boy,
how dare you?
You're mad at me. No,
I'm not mad at you.
You are
listen,
mad
if you
at
like
me,
you like it. No, I don't give a shit.
I thought this was a fun show.
Dash was fun. Oh, we had a blast, number one. And
I was annoyed seeing you again, by the way.
Look, they
took
care of me.
It got to the point where I'm like, oh, there's Damon again.
They took care of me. We were pampered. So we were very happy with our seats right on the landing. We had a lot of exposure on the television, didn't we, Colin? I was like, here's the thing, though. Like, we were having so much fun that, like there were points where I was like, oh, I hope I'm not coming across as like a stupid jerk off American. You know what I mean? Like, can I just sit there?
You did a little
but
bit.
It was,
but...
I know, I'm sure I did. Well, whatever.
We love you.
We
anyway.
Had fun. We had fun. We had a good time. I think the show was good. I mean, we're not talking about the whole show. We're not reviewing the whole show, are we?
No, we're not going to review match by match, but we do.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
There was a lot that happened. There was a lot of interesting developments that occurred during the show. So,
yeah. One. Yeah, you go ahead. You ride it. Try the drink.
All right, so I was just kind of going to quickly go through the card here. First match, Jushin Liger, Tiger Mask, and Hanare versus Kyle O'Reilly, Ricochet, and David Finlay. Fun opening match. Finlay picking up the win here, getting the win over Hanare. Good win for him.
That was a fun match. We definitely enjoyed fast pace. One of the better opening matches I saw all week. Very good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thumbs up.
Absolutely. Yoshitatsu and Billy Gunn taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Hangman Page. Hangman Page picking up the win after his finisher, the rite of passage, excuse me, on Yoshitatsu. Yeah, like you said, you know, nothing match as all Yoshitatsu matches are. And it's, you know, they were kind of alluding to that on the English commentary as well. You know, they're taking a lot of pot shots at poor Yoshitatsu, you know, noting that the fans, you know, the audience is kind of shall we say, you know, a dud when Tatsu is in the ring.
Yeah, so they were booing him. Like they were the fans were booing
him. They don't like
two fun notes on this. One, I didn't drink beers with Yujiro Takahashi. No beers took place, so if anybody was wondering.
That's sad.
And two, And two, I got a big fuck you from Adam.
I saw that. You got a middle finger.
Hangman. Well, like, because we were trying to get Takahashi's attention as we were walking by. And like, come on, we're going out for beers. And he goes, oh, you speak English. And I went, no. And he goes, well, fuck you. I was like, oh, that's not nice. Jeez.
I'm glad he did that.
Why?
Because somebody had to take you down a peg, Damon. You're having a little bit too much fun on this trip, you know.
That jerk off's not going to bring me down. No, that ain't happening. fucking C-level Bullet Club member. I'm good.
Next match: Yoshihashi, Rocky Romero, and Beretta taking on Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. Yoshihashi picking up the win here with a small package on Adam Cole. So perhaps we see a Yoshihashi Adam Cole ROH world title match. I don't know where they're going to do that. If they're going to do that at an ROH show here in the States, if we're going to see that, a Corican show at some point.
New beginnings.
Yeah, right. That's kind of an interesting matchup. That could be good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. Yeah, I don't know. I would not have expected a matchup of that caliber on any show to be. I wouldn't expect Yoshihashi to be challenging for any belt. Does Yoshihashi look like Paul Ledeen?
I saw that you tweeted that out. I have to put them side by side to.
Could somebody Photoshop that, please? We need the current hairstyle of Yoshihashi and Paul Ledeen. I said it and then I tweeted it. I couldn't get that out of my head. I like this match. I like this match a lot, actually. And this was PWG style, right? This was Ring of Honor style. And I love the dash matches because it does have that feel, that fun feel, that kind of, again, PWG ROH main event kind of feel. I like this. I like this match.
Moving on here, we saw a tag team match, a 10-man tag, featuring the team of Scott Norton, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Hiro Saito, and Cheeseburger taking on Kenny Omega, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Bone Soldier. So this was a reunion of Team 2000 here, right?
Yes, correct. That is correct. Mainstay in New Japan Pro Wrestling for many years.
What do you think of Saito? How's he looking?
I tell you what, he looks exactly the same except older. If that right. makes any sense? You know what I mean? Right. Like he's still that guy. Yeah, but that's not that. Again, I don't want to confuse. That's not Masa Saito. That's not the same Saito from Fuji and Saito.
Hiro Saito.
Yeah, and Masa Saito is who you're thinking about.
So Kojima. Go ahead.
No, Mass. You know, that, never mind. Go ahead.
Alrighty, Kojima picking up the win here, following a lariat on the Bone Soldier. Highlighted this match to me, Kenny Omega calling the Bone Soldier boner. He was giving out commands, and he was like, "Boner, get up there."
I hate Bone Soldier.
he's the dirt worst.
He really is. All right, what else we got? I don't feel like fucking talking about that.
Michael Elgin and Kushida taking on Naito and Hiromu Takahashi, with Elgin probably solidifying his place as the number one contender for the IC title after defeating Naito with a burning hammer.
Burning hammer was tremendous.
Yes.
The young lady that was sitting next to us was very upset that her man lost, Naito, but Elgin looked fucking strong. That was great. I knew about that match that day, and I was going to tweet it out, but he had asked that we not. So sorry. But yeah, I was excited to see that. I knew that was going to be a really hot match.
And Dragon Lee making an appearance here.
Dragon Lee. At first, I thought it was Bushi.
Yeah, it did look like Bushi with the mask.
Yeah, we couldn't make it out. And then we're looking, and it's like, that's not Bushi. It's Dragon Lee. Somebody behind us was like, Dragon Lee. I was like, fucking Dragon Lee. Great. But you couldn't see him as he was coming through the crowd. It was like, you couldn't make it out. You couldn't make out the mask. You knew it was a mask, but you didn't see the style. Which, again, Colin, how about that junior division?
Yeah, I mean, you put, like, you know, I mentioned earlier, you've got Takahashi, you've got Kushida, you've got Ospreay, you've got Ricochet, and now you throw Dragon Lee into the mix. Come on.
Fucking great. We business stepped up for the juniors again. Pants down for that. Pants down all weekend, but yeah, pants down specifically for that.
All right, next match, Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Katsuyori Shibata, Yuji Nagata, and Juice Robinson taking on Okada, Hiroki Goto, Toru Yano, Tomohiro Ishii, and Will Ospreay. The story of this match, Juice Robinson getting the win over Hiroki Goto.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, like I said, when Juice's performance with Cody, and now the next night getting a humongous win over the never open weight champion, that's significant for Juice. I'm happy for the guy. You know?
Damon, did Goto just lose his groove again, though?
Listen,
that quickly?
I think the problem is I think that most people believe, and rightfully so, that Goto's not going to lose his groove, necessarily to Juice Robinson. But again, it is a nice little, another little step, a little progression, a little thing that helps Juice along in his career. That's a significant win. He'll get a title shot, I'm sure, again, somewhere maybe in these New Beginning shows. And then there you go. You got a singles match, championship match, where he's going to be asked to perform at a level that he's never been asked to perform to date. And let's see if he can deliver. If he can deliver, it's another feather in his cap.
And, of course, afterwards, the return of Suzuki Goon. And I think everybody knew that this was coming.
Everybody knew it was coming, but even the people in the building didn't know exactly when it was coming. And then when it did happen, the place erupted. It was great. That was a nice little beatdown. I think I got a little excited as well. Erica was excited, and he's not the biggest Suzuki Goon fan. But it was one of those nice moments. It's weird because the last time Eric was in Japan, he was there on a Noah show where they did the same thing. So he was there for when they went to Noah, and he was there when they officially left Noah. So pretty fun, pretty interesting. And that's, again, now we're building toward Suzuki and Okada. Why? We're keeping Kenny Omega away. And now we have a nice spring and summertime with some Okada and Suzuki matches.
Well, we have a nice New Beginning match, and then they'll do that, and then Omega will win the New Japan Cup, and
let's stretch it out. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because to me, Suzuki is fantastic.
Yes.
And against Okada, it should be wonderful, and I cannot wait for that. I was pants were down.
Seriously, that we are going to see this match at New Beginning.
I don't know when. I mean, who knows when? I mean, it would make sense to have that done early, right? That would be the logical thing. But again, things are in place to keep. I don't know, Colin. I really feel like it's that you're looking at a Wrestle Kingdom main event, and I don't want to yell at you again, but.
Please don't. I can't take anymore. I'm sick. I told you that at the beginning of this.
I know. I'm sorry. Dude, I'm hungover. I'm fucking. I was screaming karaoke at 2 o'clock. But I think, again, start off the year with Suzuki, with Okada, again, with the eventual plan to go Wrestle Kingdom Omega.
All right. Next match, the main event for the never open weight 6-man titles. LIJ taking on the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Manabu Nakanishi, and Ryusuke Taguchi. Damon, if I would have told you that 2017 would be kicked off with Nakanishi becoming a champion, think about that.
Yeah, it's the never belts, and they do like to flip-flop them early in the year. I think didn't they do the same thing last year?
I think they did. I think the titles changed like the next night at Dash.
Yeah, so they love to do that. Again, wacky tag team, Nakanishi, Tanahashi, and Taguchi, right?
Yep, that's right. Tanahashi, yeah. Nakanishi, Taguchi.
I mean, we're not going to remember that in about a week.
That's another a great Fire Pro Wrestling tag team for you.
It really is. But it was a nice It was fun. It was fun. You know, that's all you can say about it. I mean, it was a fun match.
And the show ended on a positive note, of course, with Tanahashi making the rounds. And again, who do I see running over like a schoolgirl, like back in the day, you know, when the Beatles were together and the girls would be crying and weeping.
Yeah.
I see you run over and I see you point at him and say, "We love you."
That's right. We do. We do. Don't
Damon,
we?
We do. I'm but speaking for... you love Hiroshi Tanahashi, Damon. Say it.
I love him. He's the best.
There you go.
Absolutely. The fucking best pro wrestler in the past 20 years.
There you go.
All right. So that's that. It was fun. It was a enjoyable show. Lots of twists and turns. Made it interesting. Made it fun. I think Suzuki-gun being back is going to... Hey, listen. It's going to spark up the tag division again. Right?
I was just going to say that's kind of what most excites me because I'm a big Davey Boy Lance Archer guy. I'm looking forward to them getting in the mix.
Yeah, that should be good. I guess we have to put up with the bib with some of those less than attractive juniors, but. You got to take the good with the bad. So, again, we got a little spark in the tag division. We got a little spark in the beginning of the year with Suzuki challenging for the belt and taking care of Okada. Look, we're all good. We're doing fine in New Japan so far. Good way to kick off the year.
All righty. So there you have it, folks. That is Wrestle Kingdom 11 and New Year Dash. Just an amazing start to the new year for 2017. And, Lord only knows what the rest of this year has in store for us. It's only gonna be up from here, folks. So there you go. And Damon, what do you have going on for the rest of the day? I know you're just kind of starting off your day there in Tokyo. What's going on?
Well, it's 11 o'clock or 11:30 right now. I got to get out a fucking shower. I got to get room service to clean this room, and then I'm off. I got a little shopping to do, but then I have a very important meetup. Hopefully we're going to get a little picture action with Minoru Suzuki. So
very cool.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. And then
you're going to buy me a present, I'm sure.
Look, I don't know. We'll see. Then I got packed, and then it's a 12-hour flight tomorrow. So it's been a wonderful time. So before we close, again, I please indulge me, Colin, just for one moment to give some shout outs and some thanks to a lot of our listeners who really made this trip extra special.
The floor is yours.
You know, from Fumi Saito, who sat with us for hours, and learned a lot about Japanese pro wrestling from him, and all that he shared with us. Claire and Kyle, again, two great people from Australia who are listeners, who are big fans of ours and really appreciate. James Snellgrove, who else? My God, I feel I'm going to miss. Fumiaki's great. We're going to miss him. Ludovic, who actually got me and Eric gifts. He brought gifts when we met him. An outstanding class guy, moved to Tokyo from France just because he wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I really want to do this. And he did it. And that takes great balls. So outstanding. A.R. Rick. He's Andrew Benjamin. God, I feel like I'm going to miss people. Listen, the list goes on and on. If I don't mention you by name, please know that I appreciate everybody coming up. I appreciate everybody saying hi. I appreciate all the beers. I appreciate everything. This has been a trip of a lifetime, one of the greatest weeks of my life, and you guys were all a part of it. So thank you very much from the bottom of my cold black heart. You made it very special. And let's do it again next year, kids.
Hey,
right?
Hopefully Colin Miller can join in on some of these reindeer games next January. What do you say?
I don't know. You made me pretty angry today.
I did. Well, that
of
is
course,
like,
Colin,
that was my goal.
All right. Well, you're more than welcome.
I love
course.
To poke the bear.
Well, you poked him. All right. You prick. No, in all seriousness. You got to make this happen. You got to make this happen. It's a once in a lifetime trip. So anybody who's interested, let's do this. Let's make this happen. So I'm rambling. I'm tired. Peace out.
All righty. So there you have it from Damon McDonald. Once again, you know, Damon said, thanks to each and every one of you, not only all the folks who were coming up to Damon and expressing how much they love this show, but to everyone around the world, you know, who is watching Wrestle Kingdom at home and who is listening to this podcast. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for tuning in each and every week. You know, this is a big labor of love for Damon and I. You know, that's what it started out as, and that is what it shall remain. So seriously, guys, thanks for tuning in each and every week and making this all worthwhile for us. Remember, newjapanpurocast.com is your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. You can listen to the episodes directly on there as soon as they are uploaded. Links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole gamut. And you can also visit the great voicesofwrestling.com. We are a very proud member of their podcasting network, which you can check out our show on there usually every Monday afternoon. Rich usually uploads the show, so no shortage of ways to listen to the Purocast. And we're going to be back here same time next week, probably with a very jet-lagged Damon McDonald. To talk more about all the things going on in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week.